Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For this wonderful time that we can be blended together in Christ Jesus. This morning, we come to the last message, the conclusion of the fellowship on the kernel of the Bible, which is from Romans 5 to Romans 8. Romans 8 might be considered the focus for the entire Bible and the center of the universe. But, and sisters, this is a very strong statement. For the sake of some of newer among us, I would say a little bit. Many people ask, why did God create a universe? Why did God create man? What is the meaning of the human existence? How man can be satisfied for the long run? Only Bible can tell us the answer. The entire Bible reveals God's economy. God's economy is God's plan for man. God's economy, in brief, is that God wants to dispense himself as life to his chosen people to make them one with him, constituting them as the body of Christ for his corporate expression. For this, God created the universe. And for this, God created man in his own image. For man to be able to receive him and to be filled with God as life. So, for example, the glove is made in the image of a hand. For what? For the hand to reach in. Without hand, a glove is just empty shell. Likewise, man bears the image of God, is vessel of God, to contain God. So without God filling this man, man is just an empty shell. Praise the Lord! Amen. Today we are all filled with God. Amen. Maybe not full. Maybe just to a certain degree. So when we consider the matter of God's economy, the focus is really on the divine dispensing. Because it is through the dispensing God accomplished his plan, his economy. And Romans 8 is a book, is a chapter focusing on the triune God dispensing himself to tripartite man. So that's why we can say Romans 8 is the focus of the entire Bible. And even when we touch the matter of dispensing of triune God as life into his tripartite, man's tripartite being, we actually touch the center and the meaning of the entire universe. Amen? Now we can come to the outline. I just mentioned point one. I read point two. Romans 8 is not a doctrine chapter, but an experiential chapter. It speaks not about the doctrine of the Trinity, but about the Trinity in the experience of the Christian life. We know in the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are mentioned. Not for us to study, like many students in the seminary doing. No. Each time when trying God is mentioned in the Bible, it's always related to our experiencing Him and enjoying Him, including this book, Romans and Romans 8. How about we can read together Romans 3? Romans 8 reveals that the process trying God as the law of the Spirit of life gives the divine life to the, for their thing. Okay, so here we see three key words. Process, law, and the phrase Spirit of life. They are all for one thing. Gives the divine life to the believers. To us. To us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as men, we can receive the life of the triune God and be filled with the life of the triune God for expressing Him. It's the greatest matter in the universe. Amen? Amen. So for triune God to be able to dispense Himself into our being, He has to go through a process. That is a very high price He paid for us. He became a man, Jesus Christ. He went through the human living and death and resurrection. And in resurrection, He became the life-giving Spirit, the indwelling Christ. Only at this point, He is able to dispense His life to our spirit first, then soul and body eventually. Praise the Lord for His wonderful process. Brothers and sisters, we need to have an uplifted view concerning the process of the triune God. It is not a small thing that triune God went through the process. Now, He is the life-giving Spirit in our spirit. Amen. For what? To give His life to us. For our Christian life, meaning we can live Christ. We can express Christ in our daily living. Next point, please read together. Romans 8 concerns the all-inclusive giving Spirit as the ultimate consummation of the triune God. This Spirit makes us exactly the same as in life, nature, and expression. This is Romans 8. Oh, I have to go back a little bit. We're talking about life. This life is not bias, the natural life. It's not psyche, the psychological life. This life is Zoe. It's God's divine life, eternal life. It's God Himself, actually. And this life is in His Spirit. The Spirit is a container of His divine life. The divine life is the content and issue of His Spirit. So only when His Spirit comes into our human spirit, we can receive and enjoy this divine life. So in Romans 8, we have the phrase, the Spirit of life. Means the Spirit and the divine life are one. And this life actually is trying God Himself, or processed trying God Himself. And He operates in us as a law. What does it mean, a law? It's not related to Mosaic law. This law is a description of a spontaneous power operating. It's like the gravity. You know, on the earth, everybody experiences the gravity, right? If I hold this, I don't hold it, it would drop. It's a law. Likewise, today, the life-giving spirit operating in us, dispensing his life in us, is also a law. That means as long as you fulfill certain basic requirements, it just operates. It just works. Just like now in this meeting hall, we have the electricity, we have the light, right? So how do you turn on the light? You just switch it. You don't need to pray. You just switch it, and light comes. Because this electricity has been installed in this building, in this hall. Likewise, the life-giving spirit, as the process trying God, has been installed in us, working us along. So if we just fulfill some basic requirements, for example, calling on the Lord's name, the life just come. The life just spread. Another way is to set our mind on the Spirit. You think about Jesus Christ, and you pray a little bit, just spontaneously, the life just spread. You will enjoy the life supply. How about now? Let's call upon the Lord's name 3 times together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Romans 4 here also mentioned the all-inclusive life-giving spirit. Brothers and sisters, today, the spirit of Christ in us is the all-inclusive life-giving spirit. What does it mean? That means in this spirit, there's everything, including God, Son, the Spirit, the humanity of Jesus, the divinity of Christ, his death, the effectiveness of his death, his resurrection, and the power of his resurrection. They are all included in this spirit. Hallelujah. Whatever we need is there. Do you need joy? Do you need wisdom? Do you need light? You enjoy the life-giving spirit. You call on the Lord's name, and everything is yours. He is the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving spirit. You know, this morning, I talked with a brother, dear brother. He told me for keeping his physical health, every day he needs to take like 15 pills. I believe including some food supplement, some for positive infusion, some for maybe antibiotics, I don't know, kill the germs. But you know, we just need one dose. The all-inclusive, life-giving spirit. Yeah. How about we call upon Lord's name 3 times more? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, many believers still struggle by the bondage of certain things. Bad habit, etc. When I was a young believer, I had a long struggling about my temper. I just couldn't control my temper. Even to my beloved fiance that time, now it's my wife. It's like the more I love, the more I easy to lose temper. It wasn't until one day I learned, oh, he's the life-giving spirit indwelling me. Before that, I thought Christ living us is like a metaphor. It's like we say, George Washington still lives in our heart. It's a metaphor. But that day, the Lord opened my eyes. No, this wonderful Christ is actually indwelling in us as the life-giving Spirit. After I realized that, my entire Christian life changed. I was freed from the bondage. Again, my wife, at that time, fiancé, he spoke something. I was so annoyed. And even that moment, I felt inwardly the anger like the fire from the volcano come out. And I didn't know what to do. Then, all of a sudden, I thought, I can call upon Lord's name. So inwardly, I dared not to call outwardly. I called inwardly, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, save me. You know what? I sense an inward sweet flow. The flow of life, so sweet. And just quenched the fire immediately. I went surprised. Where was my anger? Where's the fire? I feel inwardly joy. Even hourly, I was able to apologize to her. So that caused her to be surprised. And from that day on, she seriously considered to join me to the church life. Brothers and sisters, this is all what we need. The all-inclusive life-giving Spirit. Amen. Because of His indwelling us, we will be able to receive His life dispensing. Okay, let's come to Romans 5. Let's read together. You are not in flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. One more time, please. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, so the flesh has nothing good. And the flesh is still attached to us until the Lord comes. However, we don't need to be in the Spirit. But in the Spirit, we don't need to, in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Amen? And here it says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Pay attention to this word, dwells. Dwells means make home. Means Christ wants to make home in our heart. Since we need to experience the life dispensing, we need to allow Christ to make home in our heart. We need to give Him more room in our daily living. When we do everything, we check with Him. Lord, what do you feel? If the Lord gives us a smiling face or we feel peace, we go do it. But if inwardly we feel, oh, the Lord may not be happy, then we stop it. By checking with Him, fellowship with Him, we allow Him to get more room in our heart. So, He dwells in us. And as He dwells in us, He is able to dispense His life to our tripartite being. Okay, I don't have time now. Let's just come to Romans 4. Romans 4. Yet, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is of... Okay. That's Romans... Yes. Romans 6. I'm a little bit drunk by Spirit. Okay, let's read together. Yet, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of Him. I want to emphasize, we are all of Christ because the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Point C. However, Christ is the Spirit and He is in our spirit. And 1 Corinthians 6:17, that's my favorite verse. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Can we all declare? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Praise the Lord. We are one spirit with the Lord. Whatever the Lord is, we are. Because we join ourselves to the Lord. He is the life-giving Spirit. And we are. You see, in the beginning, starting from our spirit joined with Him, And our spirit is one spirit with him. And then his spirit will spread. Eventually, we will all be Christ-like or zoify, means be filled with the life of Christ. Okay, my time is up. Let's stop here. Amen. How about we sing the chorus? Oh, here's the wonderful Spirit.
Is the wonderful Spirit in us. Because of time, we'll immediately come to Romans numeral 7. Because this is a continuation of what the brother just shared. Before that, I will quote a statement from Brother Lee. He says the following. He says, through my decades of study of the Bible, my conclusion is that the whole Bible, the most important, the key, is in dwelling Christ, or his indwelling. This statement was made by Brother Lee. He says, after his decades of study of the Bible, his conclusion is that the most important, the most key verse or the phrase in the whole Bible is the indwelling spirit or his indwelling. So this comes to Romans numeral 7. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. So here has the phrase, Christ in you. Now, why? I was pondering. Why this statement is the key? Because we know who is Christ. Christ is the triune God, the God in the Godhead. How can Christ be in you? We know that God dwells in the invisible, unapproachable light, in his righteousness, holiness. How, not even say a sinner, not even if a even perfect human being, you cannot be approaching God. And how God, Christ, can be in you. So this brings us to A, because then that implies this God, Christ, has to go through a process in order that he can be in you. And this, of course, is part of the God's economy so that he can accomplish it. So A says Christ in you is a crucial point in the book of Romans. So Christ has to go through various things. Once, and the two say, or in chapter 3, Christ is on the cross, shedding his blood for our redemption. And this is the judicial side so that he can be in us, solving all the problems, sinful problems, and so forth. So that's the part in chapter 3 and in chapter 4. Christ has to be, not only through the death, he in his resurrection, he has to become the life-giving spirit. So then after he becomes the life-giving spirit, and then in chapter 6, and then says, we can be in Christ. Through his judicial redemption, we have been justified, we have been cleansed, so that we can be put into him. And finally, in this chapter 8, Christ, it says that, is the Spirit in us. He can only come into us as the life-giving Spirit, to mingle with our regenerated Spirit, so that the two, can divine and the human Spirit, can become one. And this is the crucial part of God's salvation. So before, B says, before we believe in the Lord, our spirit within was dead because of sin. And the body without is active, but also in the other sense is dead because of sin. C says, now we have Christ in us, though our body without is dead because of sin. But our spirit now, hallelujah, is what? Is life because of righteousness. Now, this righteousness is because God's righteousness imputed into us through his one righteous act. The one who died, the sinless one died for the sinners. That's righteous before God. And we have him as our righteousness. so that we can be in Christ himself. So this is Christ's coming into us as life, exposes the death situation in our body. Because before we have Christ into us, even though we are active outside, but actually, outwardly speaking, before God, it considered we are dead. Because as far as God is concerned, anything, we cannot do anything according to God's desire. So it's dead, powerless, actually becomes slave of sin itself. So he says, so now today in our spirit, Christ is the spirit of righteousness resulting in life. But in our flesh, Satan's sin resulting in death. That's the situation. Now, F says, through the fall of man, sin bring death with it, enter the human body, causing us to become dead and impotent in the things of God. This in Romans is very clearly Paul was lamenting, who can deliver from this body of death? Powerless, impotent, absolutely. So, one says, although God condemned sin in the flesh, this sin was not being uprooted or eradicated from man's fallen body. Hence, our body is still dead. Jesus, the Spirit of Romans, in Romans 8:10, that verse we read in Romans 7 there, is our regenerated human spirit in contrast to the fallen human body. So there's a but started there. In contrast, now, Christ is in us. Hallelujah. So even the body outside is dead because of sin, but the spirit in is life now because of righteousness. So there's a contrast in here. It says the spirit being life because of righteousness refers to a human spirit, not to the spirit of God. I don't have time to explain this because the spirit of God under any condition is life. But our spirit has to be in the righteousness imputed by God, it becomes life to us. Now, I says our spirit is not only been regenerated, but made alive, it becomes life. Because when we believe in Christ, he, as the divine spirit of life, came into our spirit to mingle with our spirit. So this is an absolutely important verse, which Brother Paul read before. Small 2 says, the two spirits thereby to have become one spirit. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah. So our human spirit, we generate the human spirit, mingled with the processed, consummated spirit. Those two spirits now can be mingled. So you can see here, God has to go through a process, and we have to go through a process, and so that the two spirits can be mingled into one. This is God's economy. God has went through a long process to achieve this so that he can indwell in us and become the mingled spirit in us. Our mingled spirit is the key to the whole divine economy. So J says, the God's justification, we have received righteousness, which is the triune God himself, enter into our being, into our spirit. So small ones, so this righteousness results in life. In Romans 5:21, sin reigned in death. So also, what grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Hallelujah! Now grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So today we have the life-giving Spirit into us, and today we can reign in life. So now this brings up to, so now our spirit is not merely living, but our spirit is life. Amen. We turn to our spirit, there's a life there. We exercise our spirit, we can dispense the spirit into others. Amen. So now we come to Romans 8. So if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead also will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you. So this Romans 7 says Christ in you. Now is what? Christ, this Christ, only became who can indwell you is through the spirit. Christ in you because of what? because Spirit now come into you to mingle our spirit. That's how the Christ can be in you. You know, this you may say, well, this is splitting the word, but it's important. Christ, unprocessed Christ cannot be in you. Only when Christ became the life-giving spirit, then he can be in you. When Christ on the earth, he cannot be in, he cannot be in you. Only when Christ goes through this process, became the life-giving spirit, then he can be in you. So today we say Christ is in you, it's actually he became the life-giving spirit is in you. So although they are the same, but in aspect, in judicially speaking, there's a fine difference. But today, we just what? Enjoy this all-inclusive Christ in us. So in this verse, we just read, actually the whole triune God is in there. Because the triune God is the one who raised from Jesus from the dead. That is what? That's the Father. Raised Christ is the Christ, and also we have his Spirit who indwells in you. So the full triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are in us. So B says Christ is defending himself into the believers, assuring the word, give life to your mortal bodies. So this indicated that the dispensing not only occurred at the center of a being, but also reached to the circumference of our being, which is our body. So not only we got to regenerate it in our spirit, but this spirit today is operating in us, is actually by the renewing of the mind, we can have the mind of Christ to give life to our soul. And eventually it will reach to our body, give a life to even to our mortal body. So our entire being will be saturated with the divine life, which is the triune God himself. So give life to your mortal body. And the C says, give life does not refer to the divine healing, but to the result of our allowing the Spirit of God to make his home in us and to saturate our entire being with the divine life. This may need a bit of explanation. Many times people apply this divine healing. Give life to my mortal body, so therefore all my illness, everything's gone. But actually here it says give life to our mortal bodies. Is that in spite of everything else, your body still can operate according to the Spirit. There are many, many such experiences. For example, like Watchman Nee. We all know that he had very poor health. He has a heart problem. Many times when he speaks, he has to lean on the podium, just hold himself up. But even in that, when he was very sick, in his sickness, he actually wrote The Spiritual Man, those three volumes. He still ministered. This is what? Give life to his mortal bodies. You know, this, we need to get into this experience, brothers and sisters. No matter what the situation we are, we can exercise our spirit, give life to our spirit, give life to your soul, give life to our own body. Today, we can experience this by the indwelling spirit. Amen. So capital D says, in this way, he gives life to in a mortal, dying body, not merely to heal it, but also it may be enlivened to carry out his will. So this is very encouraging to some of us who have a weakness and this and that. In the midst of all that, we can still exercise our spirit to strengthen, subject to the spirit, put the subject of our body to the spirit, we can still function to express Christ in spite of all the other things. This is our full salvation. So in all this, I've said, all this, the conclusion of these Romans, why 5 to chapter 8, why it's so crucial? Because in this, we can say that this is the whole process to accomplish God's eternal economy. This triune God, through a process, become the indwelling Christ, become the Spirit in us to accomplish his organic salvation, to transform us, to regenerate us, not only that, so that we cannot live ourselves, but living out Christ himself, to build up his body, so that eventually the triune God can be mingled, can be in union, and incorporated into the tripartite man through that a kind of this kind of organic salvation. So our daily life, we live by this indwelling Christ, not by anything else. So gradually, he will saturate our whole being. Our spirit is life. Even our soul can be an expression of him. Our mind, emotion, and will be fully one with him. Even our mortal body can be enlivened inside of all the situation. We can be built together in one body. And this body is Christ, to be his church, and to be in together, we will be his overcomer, his bride, and bring in the new Jerusalem. This is why this is so crucial for us, and then to accomplish God's eternal economy by this indwelling Christ. So that's why this message is indwelling Christ, right? And this is what? The indwelling Christ. This is the key. This is our vision. This is our what? Our commission. And this is the way we go on in our church life. To take care of this indwelling Christ. You have the treasure in the whole universe in us. So available, so convenient, anytime, anywhere, can be available to us. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. We just can't let this speaking disc go, so we'll just say just a tiny bit just to confirm right here. Anyway, praise the Lord for Romans 8.
Amen.
It's really the focus of the whole Bible, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a lot of ones here that our brother Paul talked about right here. One law, right? The law of the Spirit of life, right? And there's also what? One Spirit. Amen, amen. I loved he also talked about one dose, right? This is the all-inclusive dose. You know, this dose can even calm down a volcano and turn it into a lovely stream. You try it on your own and you won't make it, but you try this one dose, right? And then we can just realize that we just need to be those who can turn, right? Turn to the Spirit, right? And finally, what? This life, this spirit is Zoe.
Amen.
You can say there's only one Zoe. We all need this Zoe, right? And it can permeate our mind, emotion, will, our soul, our body, everything that the Lord can accomplish his purpose.
Amen.
And our brother Kay Sheen brought us to Romans 7 and 8. And he reminded us that our brother said that through decades of studying the Bible, his conclusion, ultimately, was that the key is the indwelling Christ.
Amen.
Did you enjoy Romans 8:10?
Amen.
But if Christ is in you,
amen.
Though the body is dead because of sin,
amen.
The spirit is life,
amen.
Because of righteousness.
Amen.
And we saw this isn't the raw Christ. This isn't the unprocessed Christ. This is the processed Christ, who's now the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
He's spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
He's giving life to our whole being.
Amen.
He's also giving life to our mind. And ultimately today, this morning, many of us may be tired a little bit. He's giving life to our mortal bodies. Saints, I think a lot of us are encouraged. We've had the Evergreen Saints Conference, right? Evergreen Saints, that means you have to be 55 or older, right? We're receiving and enjoying this life even in our mortal bodies.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this ultimate secret and the most important portion of the entire Bible, Romans 8, the indwelling Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the NorCal Church's Blending Conference. Blending is the way. This morning, myself and Brother Terry, we would like to review a little bit about the burden for this Blending Conference. We realize that there are some who may not have come to every meeting over the weekend. We hope that you would all be brought into the same burden. You would all be brought into the same feeling. And we will go on as one. Amen. Before speaking on a little bit about this particular conference, I have some feeling to share a little bit about, based on the fellowship with the brothers, what is the burden for the Labor Day conference for Northern California churches? What is the burden? Because in the church life, there are many trainings and conferences, right? We certainly have the seven feasts, but we also have the senior saints. We have the sisters' conference, brothers' conference, young people conference, working saints. We have many conferences. So we sympathize with the saints that there are already many conferences. Why do we feel the need to have this particular Labor Day conference? Well, this is really our once a year for Northern California churches to come together. You know, we are really, the Lord is really building up the body. The Lord is really building up us into one. The Lord is really lifting us out from our narrow mindset in our own regions and our localities, and to increasingly blend us together into one. So we feel that it is so important that at least once a year, the churches would come together. The nature of this Blending Conference is a little bit different than the Seven Feasts or other conferences with different groups of saints. This is really one conference where we are going on together. You know, of all the churches in Northern California, I was considering what are the main burden for the Labor Day conference. I would say there are three. One is to come together to prophesy, to speak the Lord's word. Hasn't it been so wonderful to see so many saints that don't normally meet with us, we don't see them maybe as much, but when they opened their mouth to speak, Christ came out. Amen. Oh, they're ministering life to one another. Amen. I got so watered, so nourished from the saints speaking this weekend. Wasn't it wonderful? This matter, the Lord is recovering not only the Christ as the preciousness, as the preeminence, not only the oneness of the body, but also recovering the function of all the members. Oh, I love this matter of the function of all the members. Actually, you know, if we are used to this, when we begin to enjoy this kind of blending, I believe that we will not go back to the old way of one man speaking. You know, of course, we realize there are still a particular purpose for ministry, right? But for the church life, and this is really our Northern California church life meeting, blended together. And I just love the speaking from all the saints. And this is also, the second one is to blend us more and more into the oneness of the body. The blending is the way for us to go on. Even this earlier this year, a couple months ago, we have some Taiwan
co-worker brothers who came to blend with us. One of the things that I was very touched by was that they shared that after Brother Lee passed away, it's really not one particular brother who is so capable to move and to continue to carry the Lord's work on in Taiwan. But it is really through the blending of all the brothers, blending of all the churches together into one, into the one accord which invites the Lord's blessing. And this becomes the leading of the churches in Taiwan. It becomes the blessing of the of their going on. So how much we desire that we would be more blended into one. And I would say the third one, I think is actually somewhat new. And this is something that we sense, that building on the Lord speaking, building on the blending and the oneness, the Lord would be able to blow the trumpet in the going on of all the churches in Northern California. You know, we'll get into the general subject of this this outline, but the Lord wants to go on. The Lord wants to make an advance, and for us to go on, there needs to be a trumpet. You know, just like the Gideon's army, right? In the when the Gideon trumpet was blown, then all of God's people hear the trumpet. And we pray that many will hear the trumpet. Many will answer the Lord's call. And many will go on as one. Now, maybe there are some that hear the trumpet but did not join, you know, the Lord's move. And that's okay. That's okay. You are still a good brother. You are still a good sister. But we pray that many will hear the trumpet. We will go on together as one church. Amen. Amen. So we hope that the Lord will sanctify this Labor Day weekend. Every year, we hope that you would prioritize this conference. I hope that you would give it weight. Not that the other conferences are not important, but this is our conference. This is once a year, the Northern California churches blending together and seeking the Lord's leading to go on together. Amen. Amen. And this year, as we consider what is the burden for this year's conference, the brother came up with this wonderful general subject. Perhaps we could read together. Our vision, our commission, and the way to advance the Lord's recovery. Amen. Hallelujah for our vision. You know, in Proverbs, if you want to go to message one, in Proverbs 29:18, there's the verse, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. You know, people need a vision, especially God's people need a vision. Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Another translation is the people become wild or go wild. We go our own way. Another translation is the people perish. The people, without a vision, we can perish. We can be languishing. You know, if you are new in the church life, we hope that the speaking of this conference will give you a vision about the Lord's recovery. Eventually, it is not the outward things that will keep you here in the church life. You know, maybe when you are new to the church life, initially what attracted you was some very loving brothers and sisters. They take you to love feasts. And you are attracted by the truth. You are attracted by the young people service. Whatever you may be attracted by. Wonderful. Wonderful you are here. But eventually, for the long term, in order for there something to motivate you, to govern you, to preserve you, to give you the long-term sustenance to go on, is a fresh vision. And how about those of us who have been in the church life for many years? Sometimes it's so easy for our vision to blur, right? Don't you feel that there can be the sort of the mundaneness of everyday church life could come in, and the church life could become kind of a ritual, kind of a routine, and we lose the purpose, we lose the meaning of what we are here for. This weekend, we wanted to have a fresh renewing, a refresh of our vision, so that we will be lifted out of our routine church life. We will see the vision, and we will see a commission, where a vision is what God's economy unveils to us, as the brothers have shared. The commission is what we should do. When the Apostle Paul saw at the time, saw the heavenly vision on the way to Damascus, his first question was, "Who are you, Lord?" That's a vision about who Christ is. But the second question he was, "What should I do?" Every time when you see Christ as the preeminent one, when you see him as the Lord, and when you see him as the meaning of our life, there should be a question we ask ourselves. What should we do? Right? This weekend, we hope that we will have some seeking before the Lord. Lord, what should I do? What should we do? May there be a renewing and a refresh of the vision and the commission. And also, the way to advance the Lord's recovery. What is the Lord's recovery? The Lord's recovery is not our name. This may surprise some. I thought our name is called the Lord's recovery. Actually, the Lord's recovery is not a name. It's not a title. The Lord's recovery is his move to recover the church back to the beginning, back to his original intention, original desire, for the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. God has a purpose. And the enemy comes in and always comes in to attack. And the Lord is always doing a recovery work. Actually, we see even from the beginning, when the Lord created man in front of the tree of life, the enemy come in Genesis 3 already, right? So there, you can see, there's a degradation. There's an attack, and man became fallen. And since that time, God has always been doing a work of recovery. And even God's coming to look for Adam was his recovery, wasn't it? That was his recovery work. As soon as the enemy come in and did his subtle attack, God come in to do a recovery work. For 2,000 years, the Lord has never stopped his recovery work. Oh, hallelujah. On one hand, there is degradation. On the other hand, we have the recovery. God is a God of recovery. Don't you appreciate that our God is a God of recovery? Many of us, without his recovery work, may have been lost, may have been strewn on the roadside. But he is the one, he is the shepherd who carry us on his back, right? To bring us back to the pasture, to bring us back to the church life. He is always doing a work of recovery. Actually, we need to experience his recovery every day. I feel like moment by moment, I need to experience his recovery. From the moment that I wake up, I'm already getting drawn. I need to call on the Lord. On our side, it's us calling on the Lord. On his side, he's recovering us. Oh, hallelujah for his recovery. But corporately, there is a work of recovery. And this recovery work, through our senior brothers, Watchman Nee and Brother Lee, has brought to not only this country, but to all over the earth. But at some point, as Brother Lee in the 80s mentioned, that it can come to a standstill, maybe come to a certain stagnant condition. So he needs to advance. I love the word advance of the Lord's recovery. We need to make an advance. Dear saints, don't you feel that in your Christian life, in your church life, you are not satisfied, you are not content with where you are today? Would you like to make an advance? In the coming year, would you like to make an advance personally and corporately? Lord, we need to pray to the Lord. Lord, may you advance. May you make an advance in me. May you make advance in the church life. Make an advance in Northern California. We are not satisfied and content with where we are. Oh, we don't want to be perishing. We don't want to be languishing. Oh, take us on. So we are full of anticipation, full of expectation of what the Lord would do. May the Lord renew our hearts. May the Lord be the burning one in our heart. Oh, to rekindle in us a fresh love. You know, just like the church in Ephesus, you know, the Lord said to them, you have done many things, but you have lost the first love. Oh, repent. Oh, repent to where you have fallen off. Repent to our first love. Oh, may this weekend be a weekend of repentance, a weekend of renewal, and a weekend of advance. Amen. And then I would like you to read together with me. And what is the Lord's advancing? The advancing is describing in terms of what the Lord is doing today. In Roman numeral, in message 1, Roman numeral 2D. Maybe we can read that together. Brothers and sisters, we believe that there will be a day when God's recovery will reach the fulfillment of Ephesians 4. God is doing a recovery work everywhere. The ultimate work among all these works may very well be the recovery of the body testimony. God's leading today is to bring us back to the beginning and to recover us to the condition at the beginning. What is the Lord recovering today? He's recovering the ultimate work. The ultimate work among all works is the recovery of the body testimony. Hallelujah. You know, so this weekend, we feel that the Lord is wants to make an advance in the body testimony. You know, in Ephesians 4, what is the fulfillment of Ephesians 4? In Ephesians 4, we see that God has given some gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the prophets and teachers. But these ones, are not directly building the church. But rather, these ones will perfect the saints for the work of the ministry unto the building up of the body of itself. You know, I think Brother Will mentioned last night in Matthew 16:18, the Lord said, I will build my church. This is the greatest prophecy. These five words in Matthew 16:18. Let's say that together. I will build my church. As I was praying and considering this verse, I was so touched. The Lord said, I will build my church. Hallelujah, my church. It's not any person's church. Today, the body of Christ in the Christendom has been divided into so many pieces. It's one of enemy's tactic. But the Lord said, I will build my church. The church belongs to Him. He will build the church. But His building of the church is carried out in Ephesians chapter 4. In the giving of the gift and the functioning of all the members. By being perfected to do the work of the ministry unto the building up of itself. So this weekend, we feel that the Lord make an advance in seeking the Lord. We feel that He particularly need to make an advance in two areas. One is the area of PSRP, prayer reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying. Actually, when we think about PSRP, we may have many concepts. Those who have been in the church life in a little while. Actually, the burden of PSRP is not an outward method, but rather it is for us to be person of truth, to be person of life, to be constituted with the truth. Not just by hearing some messages and get stirred up, and by inspiration. You know, many of us have done that, right? We sat in meetings, we heard some good messages, we get stirred up, and we are inspired. But after many years, this kind of inspiring will not necessarily build up the church. Rather, Brother Lee, in his late 80s and early 90s ministry, he very much wants to take the way of education and constitution. You know, like if you want to get an education, you cannot get an education just by going to hear lecture after lecture, right? Even if you go and hear some Nobel lectures, Nobel laureates lectures, you know, every month, you will not get an education. You have to lay the foundation. You have to get into the basic. Build up the basic truth. This way, truth will be in us. But this is not by the way of mental knowledge, but this is by the way of prayer reading, studying, and reciting, committing it to memory, so that our mentality will be renewed, that we can contain the truth for long-term nourishment. Even the truth in us will be the building factor so that we can beget to preach the gospel, we can nourish the new ones, and we can perfect and edify these new ones, and we can build up the body of Christ. All of these steps require us to be constituted with the truth. If we don't have the truth, what would you do? What is your capital to preach the gospel? What is the capital to nourish the new ones, right? To perfect and to build up the church. So we feel that on one hand, we need to let the truth be constituted in us. Actually, I was reading Brother Lee's ministry in the late 80s. He was using this term, bringing the saints to the truth. I always thought that it's bringing the truth to the saints. But actually, it's bringing the saints to the truth. The truth has been released. The truth has been translated, has been interpreted. Oh, today, we have all the rich truths, but we need to be brought to it. We can't let the truth sit on the shelf. Oh, hallelujah. Then out of this rich nourishment, we will have the desire, we will have the burden, we will have the Lord speaking and leading to carry out this work of BNPB. And this is particularly done in the setting of small group. Not just a small group meeting, but small group church life, which is what we desire to build up today. The brother shared last night that actually we may be all in a small group, but it may not be the small group that will really help the church life to advance, right? Maybe you have been in a small group, and it's very small, very intimate, very related, but it's been that way for years. That's not the purpose. Even it was a very strong word. Some of the small groups may be violating the spirit of the small group and maybe against the purpose of the small group. The small group is for teaching, for begetting, for restoring lost ones, right? And for mutual perfecting, mutual teaching, so that we will grow, so that we will multiply, and we will become many. If it was six groups 5 years ago, it should be 8. It should be 10. It should be 12. Maybe you are in a large small group, and everybody loves each other. I'm in a large small group. I'm very burdened for my small group. We've been in a very large small group. I'm very burdened that we will not just be happy to see each other every Friday. Oh, we will be built up. Oh, through the mutual perfecting, through the relatedness, we will be built up so that we can multiply. And the church life would advance. I'll pass it over to Brother Terry to continue.
Praise the Lord for his recovery. You know, we use this term, the Lord's recovery. And we have to realize the Lord's recovery has been going on and on and on. And there's recovery of many things. But we need to see, where is the Lord's recovery today? Because the Lord's recovery is not finished. He has not attained what he's after yet. You know, sometimes we talk about the Lord's recovery beginning with Martin Luther. Actually, there was things happening before that. But that's a good marker. That was recovering. The most basic item of the faith is just that you're justified by faith, not by works, right? Christ's redemption. But since then, there's been many, many advances, right? And we know among the Lord's recovery, which began in the 1920s with Watchman Nee in China, the brothers gave themselves, they saw the situation in Christianity and compared it to the Bible they were reading, and it didn't match. And they said, we can't go along with this. So we'll take whatever in the Bible, we'll take. And whatever's not in the Bible, we won't take. And that began the Lord's recovery there in China. And one of the first things was the matter of Christ as the content, right? We saw earlier this week three items of the Lord's recovery. The first one is recover Christ as the content, not all the substitutes that had come in over the centuries to replace Christ. And then the oneness of the body, right? The oneness of the body has been totally lost, right? On the earth today, the Christians, there's just thousands of different denominations and groups of Christians. Where's the testimony of the Lord's one body, right? The Lord wants to recover his one body. To recover his one body, he needs to recover himself as the content. But he also has to recover the oneness of the body, right? But even if you have that, you have the recovery of Christ, you have the recovery of the oneness, how about the operation and measure of each one part of the body, right? That it's not a body. Even if it's all together in one piece and the right person is dwelling in it, if it's not moving, if it can't do anything, it's not a body, right? And the Lord wants to recover. So I would say today, where we are, up to date with the Lord, is the Lord's recovery is the recovery of the organic building up of the body of Christ. The Lord wants to build up the body of Christ organically. And to do this, in a sense, we have to have a radical change from the way Christians have had their church life for centuries, right? And I'd say we've made a little progress. You know, we can liken this to, you cannot change the earth, right? But you can change transportation around the earth. And, you know, years ago, Brother Lee gave the example, you had to ride in an ox cart to go somewhere in China, right? It would take you days and days to go someplace that today you can fly in a plane in a couple of hours, right? So you can't change the earth. We're not changing the truth. We're not changing God's economy. We don't want to, we can't change God's economy, which is to dispense himself into us, to make us the same as him in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, that we become his body to express him. But the way we carry that out, we have to change. We cannot stay with the ox cart. The ox cart way. Well, I think when Brother Lee went back to Taiwan in 84, he started working on that ox cart, and he got it. Maybe we've been brought to the place where now we're in a car. But we're not in the 747 yet. We have a long way to go. There's many things Brother Lee spoke we have never practiced, right? How about small groups that are living and active, right? He called them vital groups, living and active. Active means active. Actually, I have this vision that every small group should be like a little group of commandos. They're carrying things out. They're doing things. They're fighting the battle for the increase of the church. They're not just coming together and, you know, I minister to you, you minister to me, we take care of one another, you know. No, they're aggressive. They're active in what? As we said before, BNPB, begetting. They're active in begetting. They're active in nourishing the ones they beget. Or they're active in recovering dormant saints. Let's just start with that. Even if you don't start with the gospel, you just start with, in your small group, go around and have every saint write down the name of everyone they know that used to be meeting and is not meeting now, that they would be burdened for. You've got plenty of people to go visit, right? Not to stay in your small group and have a nice time enjoying the morning revival. How about go one Friday night? Don't do that. Go visit. Go pray for these ones and then go visit them. Anyway, we have a long way to go, and we need a major change in the way of the Lord's recovery. This is recovery. We want to recover the church life, recover back to the beginning. How was the church in the beginning in Acts? It was house to house, day by day, right? Preaching the gospel, nourishing one another, right? Spreading, even migrating. Lord Jesus, we really... So I think we were stirred up by the visit from the brothers from Taiwan who came here to see their way of practicing, right? Not only on the spiritual side of receiving the ministry and being constituted with the Lord, but carrying out, right? A body carries out something. We're the new man to carry out God's move, right? He wants to spread. He wants to propagate. He wants to beget and then raise up the ones begotten. In Christianity, even if somebody gets begotten, right? Billy Graham begot thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. But where are they today, right? They're begotten, but nobody cared for them afterwards. That was his biggest problem. He tried to get groups to, after my gospel campaign and these 10,000 people get saved, will you take care of them? They tried to find ways to take care of them, but I don't think they ever did. What's the way? The way is the small groups. The small groups are the vehicle. We have to change our concept about our small group. Your small group should be a vehicle to carry out the God-ordained way, right? Carry out begetting, carry out nourishing, carry out perfecting, and carry out building. And we've been brought back to this, I think, with a fresh realization that the churches in NorCal need to go on in one accord. And how do we do that? We do that by following the ministry closely. I want to read one quote from the ministry. This is under the title, Receiving the Blessing by Following the Ministry. When we were meeting in Eldon Hall, we had a definite course with a goal. In other words, we had the morale. However, in recent years, this was lost and has not yet been fully recovered. The loss of morale was due to the churches going their own way and each doing things according to what they thought was right. Certain things may be right but are not profitable. What the ministry in the Lord's recovery conveys is right and also altogether profitable. If all the churches receive the ministry, there will spontaneously be the genuine oneness. When there are differences among the churches and regions, we lose the impact. If we have the genuine oneness, someone who visits different local churches throughout the U.S. will see the same living expression wherever he goes. I think we can say that about Northern California. We're more that way than ever before, but we want more blending, right? We want more blending as Alex said, this conference is for us to sound the trumpet. Every year, we want to sound a trumpet at this time. Trumpet for what? For all the churches in Northern California to follow, right? We don't want to all be going different ways, doing many good things. We want to focus on these two things for the next 6 months to 12 months. PSRP, which is not a practice, let's say being constituted with the word, and the small groups to revolutionize our small groups, to be propagating groups, to be living and active groups, right? That's what we want to focus on in all the churches for the next period of time. I'll read you something on being constituted. Why do we need to be constituted with the truth? Like the brother shared, Brotherly's burden was after he had opened up the whole New Testament with the life studies. The whole New Testament was an open book, but it was mainly open on our shelves. It was not, most saints could not speak to you. You know, what's the outline of the book of Philippians? What's the outline of the book of Colossians? What's that book talking about? You know, we should have that in us and be able to speak it. So I'll read this part here. The need to be educated in the full knowledge of the truth. Despite all the trainings we have given concerning covering the entire New Testament, I realize that still the saints in the Lord's recovery in the United States have not been helped to be so knowledgeable of the truth. In other words, they have not been helped to come to the full knowledge of the truth. I discovered that even many of the positive ones in the Lord's recovery cannot present the truth. For example, many of the saints in the Lord's recovery are not able to present the matter of sanctification clearly to people in a doctrinal way. All the saints in the Lord's recovery need to be those who preach the gospel, teach the truth, and minister life to others. So I want to underline that. All the saints in the Lord's recovery need to be those who preach the gospel, teach the truth, and minister life. I discovered that so many dear saints have the heart to do this, yet when they begin to preach, teach, or minister life, they have nothing to say. They have nothing as the gospel, the good news, to impart something to others. They have the desire to teach the truth, but they do not have the materials constituted into their being to talk about. Many saints treasure the ground of the church. They would tell people, we are standing on the church ground. If you don't have this, you will be divisive. When people ask what the church ground is, many of the saints have little to say. The outsiders do not know what the ground of the church is, and neither do many of us. A person may be attending a denomination for 20 years. Eventually, he's not able to preach even a little of the gospel, because he was not trained or raised up that way. Many have been sitting in the pews of denominations for every Sunday morning service for over 20 years. Eventually, after 20 years, they cannot teach people about one spiritual subject. When we were in the denominations, our concept was it was not our obligation to teach. That was not our duty. That was the duty of the preachers and the pastors. Even in our homes, we could not teach our own children. We just encouraged them to go to the service. The principle is nearly the same with us. Most of the saints have been sitting with us, that have been sitting with us for years, appreciating all the messages as a treasure. Through all the ministry of the word, they receive the help point by point, but they are not capable in presenting the items of the truth to others. We must admit that here we have a great lack and a failure. I did say in the past that everyone can be an apostle, but if you don't have the knowledge of the biblical truths, how can you be an apostle? Also, to be an elder, you must be appointed by the divine truth. Until you have the knowledge of the divine truth, you are not adequate or qualified to be an elder. Even the elders in most of the churches cannot present the truth adequately. We must see that we are short in this matter. If all the approximately 8,000 saints in the Lord's Recovery in the United States would be educated in this way, we would have 8,000 apostles preaching, teaching, and ministering the divine truths. The actual situation, however, is not like this today. So I think we have to wake up. We have to wake up. So I hope this conference is our wake-up call for all the churches in Northern California to go on in this way. And you know, this matter of opening the Word for our understanding is in the Bible in many places, right? We've talked before about Philip with the eunuch, right? The eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. I mean, you want to chapter to preach the gospel to somebody from. He's reading about Christ as the lamb being, you know, led to slaughter and opened not his mouth and he bruised for our iniquities, and, you know. And he said, who's this talking about? You know? Philip asked him, do you know what you're reading? And his response was, how can I unless someone guides me? That's the Bible itself telling you you need somebody to guide you. That's not me or somebody telling you you need somebody to interpret the Bible for you. That's the Bible telling you. You cannot understand the Bible unless someone guides you. And then he guided Philip and opened that up to him and guided the eunuch. And what was the response? He got baptized. He got saved and baptized immediately, right? And another one is on the road to Emmaus, right? On the road to Emmaus, the Lord, it says, opened the scripture to them. And what did they say? They said, wasn't our heart burning when he opened the scripture to us on the way? We need to be able to open the scripture to people that makes their heart burn. Right? For the gospel or for nourishing, we need to be able to open the scriptures to people. And another place, I'd just like to read this. I was just considering, why am I in the Lord's recovery today? One main reason is because I sat under somebody who was opening the scripture to me. And my heart burned because he opened the scripture. And in the Old Testament, there was Ezra. This is in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8 is the subject in the outline. It says, coming back to God by coming back to his law, his word. Okay, so all the people gathered as, this reminds me of the trainings we used to have with Brother Lee. All the people gathered as one man in the open area that was before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which Jehovah had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all could hear with understanding. Remember the Brother Kashin shared with us. In Matthew 13, the good earth is the one that hears the word and understands it. Why did their heart burn within them? Because he opened the scriptures and they understood it, right? Why did the Ethiopian get saved? Because he opened the scriptures and he understood it, right? It says, and he read it before the open area that was before the water gate from first light until midday. So all the way from 6 o'clock in the morning, I guess, first light until midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a wooden platform, like Brother Lee used to be on a platform, right? That had been made for that purpose. And beside him stood, and it names all these names I can't pronounce, right? On his left and on his right, like five or six on his left and five or six on his right. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed Jehovah, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, 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 lifting up their hands. This is where you lift up your hands to the word. And they bowed their heads and worshiped Jehovah with their faces to the ground. Okay, and then it names all these ones again that helped him. And it says, and the Levites helped the people understand the law. And the people stood in their place. And they read in the book in the law of God, interpreting and giving the sense so that they understood the reading. And it says, eventually it says, and all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I think they wept because they realized they were short of everything. It told them all the things they were supposed to be doing they hadn't been doing, right? On the other hand, they wept because they were finally hearing it, right? So I'm not sure if it's for grief or for joy. But anyway, I think it was for grief because the Levites stilled the people saying, be quiet, for this day is holy, and don't be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. That's why they were rejoicing. So we've had the word open to us, but we need to be the ones who can open the word to others. So we have to get constituted. So we've made these two our goal for the churches in Northern California for the next 6 to 12 months, to be constituted with the word through PSRP. And if you don't know what that is, you'll find out. As when this conference ends, the work begins. Right? The work of all the leading brothers in all the churches to bring the saints into these things. And also the work of the small groups, of reworking our small groups. Right? It won't happen overnight. I appreciated something I read recently in the ministry where Burley said, anytime you try to do something new, it's going to feel awkward. And you're going to feel like you're going to get discouraged. You don't know what you're doing. Right? It's easy to retreat back to, I'm comfortable with one man speaking. You know, this prophesying is too hard. You know. No. Anything new. You learn something new. It's difficult. It's awkward. But keep going. Amen. Right? We have a vision before us, and we need to just keep going. Amen. Keep going in being constituted, and keep going in perfecting how to properly carry out the God-ordained way in the small groups. Amen.
I believe we have four brothers who are going to give a confirming word to the word this morning. Can you come to the microphones?
Saints, don't you feel your vision has been refreshed today? Amen. This whole weekend. The Lord is recovering us, and He still wants to recover us. Amen. He wants to recover us from having just a routine church life. Amen. We shouldn't be satisfied with how much the Lord has recovered. He still wants to recover us back to His eternal purpose and original intention. Amen. And I remember as the brothers are speaking, when Burley gave the elders training in 84, book 3 says, the way to carry out the vision. This is after he showed us the vision, and in that book, in speaking to the elders, the entire content of that book was not step one, step two, step three, this is what you need to do, but it's how to be constituted with the truth. Amen. For him, this is the way to carry out the vision. Amen. And the Lord wants to recover us back into a proper relationship with the word. Amen. You just consider, and I ask you to consider this, and I consider it myself, how much in your daily living does the Lord speak to you from the word? How much does the Lord speak to you from the ministry? And I feel like the Lord needs to recover us more so that this becomes our constitution. And we shouldn't consider that this is for some people. It's not for me. Whether you're young, don't feel like you're too young. Don't feel like you're too old. Your mind is not sharp. Luke 24:45, the Lord opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Amen. Whatever condition you're in, the Lord can open your mind to understand the scriptures. Amen. That's why when we come to the Bible, we need to pray, read. Amen. When we pray, read, we touch the Spirit in the Word.
Amen.
He'll open our mind to understand the Scriptures. Amen. We will understand as we study and get into it to understand the thought.
Amen.
And we will understand it so that it gets into our memory. It will become a long-term nourishment to us.
Amen.
And we will understand it to the extent that we will overflow it.
Amen.
We'll be able to share it with the saints, with new ones, to perfect others.
Amen.
So the Lord needs to bring us back into this. And when we do this, we will be overflowing with this.
Amen.
We won't be overflowing with current events or our children, our family, but we'll be overflowing what we've composed concerning the King.
Amen.
And this will change our small groups.
Amen.
I appreciate being here this weekend to be refreshed in my vision of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
The Lord is recovering Himself as our preeminent one.
Amen.
The more we spend time with Him, He then leads us to see His heart is for His body.
Amen.
And as He's expressed through His body, He needs every member to function in their measure.
Amen.
Lord, we need and we pray for the fulfillment of Ephesians 4,
Amen.
That the body would, through the operation in the measure of each one part,
Amen.
The body would grow.
Amen.
We realize through this, Lord, what about my speaking? As I consider this matter of our functioning, we're not into acronyms. We're into more Christ, more of His body, more of the functioning of every members. And I appreciate we have PSRP to constitute us with this Christ who is indwelt in the Word. The more we lay hold and apprehend of the Word through our pray reading, through our studying, our musing, even our reciting, and having so many opportunities to speak the Word,
Amen.
This truth that's constituted into us builds up the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this is how the body builds itself up through the members in each one part.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, we also have the container. In our small groups, we realize, Lord, give us fruit.
Amen.
Give us children.
Amen.
Make us living and active to nourish them. To perfect them with the truth, that the church could be built up. And finally, I've just been enjoying, we've been in Europe and enjoying these verses in Ephesians, where there's the picture of the Passover, and there's the encouragement there. The children will one day come to us and say, what do you mean by this service, by this Passover service? The verse in 12:27 says, you shall say, don't bring them to the brothers.
Amen.
This needs to be our constitution.
Amen.
That when our children ask us, what does this mean?
Amen.
What is the Lord's recovery? You shall say.
Amen.
It will be constituted in us and we can bring them into the truth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the Labor Day Conference.
Amen.
Don't you feel that you got renewed?
Yes.
Renewed in your vision?
Amen.
Renewed in your commission? Praise the Lord for His Word.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, may the Word continue to move and work in us until
Amen.
Even after the conference.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I just feel that we need to be reconstituted.
Amen.
You know, many times we just let the chances pass by, all the opportunities to pass by, because we did not spend effort on them. So in this conference, praise the Lord for the kernel of the Bible.
Amen.
The kernel is talking about from Romans 5 to Romans 8. In Romans 5, we are in Adam. In Romans 6, we are in Christ.
Amen.
In Romans 7, we are in flesh. In Romans 8, we are in the Spirit.
Amen.
At least we can bring these points home. You know, whoever we met, we can speak to them. Praise the Lord. And these are not just for doctrines. These are for our experience. Every day we need to be transferred. Transferred from Adam into Christ.
Amen.
Amen. From this flesh into our spirit.
Amen.
No, I find that a very practical way to get reconstituted is to first call on the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes we were asked to call on the name of the Lord 10 minutes. Have you done that before? Sometimes it's dry. Sometimes it's boring. But if you exercise your spirit, you can do it. If you say, oh, Lord Jesus, how long does it take? About three to 4 seconds. So every minute, you can call about 15 to 20 times. Right? Then 10 minutes, you can call 150 to 200 times. Lord Jesus, you can add the names that you're caring for into this by your calling. Lord, remember Grace. Oh, Lord, remember Brother Frank. This bring the burden up in you. So you want to contact them. You want to flow life out to them. So you can pray for them. Praise the Lord. Amen.
We really worship the Lord for hearing all this word meant for all of us in Northern California. In your local church, you meet 52 times a year. For the recovery as a whole over the whole globe, you meet 7 times a year. In Northern California, you meet 1 time a year. And this is the time we have a calling for all of us. And that calling is not just for brothers to be on the podium. You are on the podium, not that podium. The podium in front of the new ones. The podium in front of the ones that you have been praying for. The podium from the one in front of the ones who are the ones that haven't been in meetings for a while. The podium on the in front of the ones that you're about to preach the gospel to. Well, how are you going to be prepared for that? I mean, those brothers, all the constitution, everything. You need to be constituted. We need to be constituted by pray reading the word. We need to be constituted by having the word worked into us by study. You need to be constituted by getting into it in a way of a fellowship together with others. We need to be constituted, saints. Amen. Not just them, you. Amen. Not just brothers, sisters. Amen. We need everyone to be constituted and speak. Amen. In the small groups, not just in the group to people you've known for 20 years, but the ones that are just there for the first time. Amen. Not just for you and your family, but for the very ones you're burdened for. Every one of us is called. Amen. In the next 6 months to 12 months, you need to be the speaking one. Amen. To be that, you need to be the constituted one. Amen. Let's take it up. Amen. This is the Lord's call to you. Amen. This is the Lord's call for you to be the speaking constituted one. Amen. That you can carry out God's economy. Amen. In Northern California. Amen.